together. Romans 12, beginning with verse 1. Let us stand as we read Paul's words to the church in Rome. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I chose Romans 12 because I want to fit that with the theme of our church, the mission statement that the leadership of this church has developed. And you saw it up here at the very beginning of the service. There's this beautiful emblem which was designed. Whoever designed it, not sure. But we have know, grow, and go. And if you look at this text from Romans 12, you kind of put that as an overlay over this know, grow, and go. You see, Paul starts out with saying, this is the center of our reality. We are to be living sacrifices because this is our spiritual service of worship. So we need to know that we need to worship. And he talks about the transformation of the mind. Okay, so there's a knowing piece there. And then he talks about the grace that has been lavished upon the body of Christ, each with their own gifts, so that we are to walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in community. And we're growing in that grace. And then he just gives us a ton of practical advice, if you will, calling us to Christ-likeness. Hey, this is what it looks like. You're offering yourself as a living sacrifice. You're growing in grace in the community of God's people. And now, here are things that this is going to look like. You're going to be praying for one another. You're going to be caring about the saints. You're going to be contributing to their needs. You're going to walk in hospitality. So that's kind of the flow here. Know, grow, and go. It's worship and the knowledge of a transformed mind in Christ. May this mind be yours in Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in community. And then the walking out of that. The going as you go, that you are acting as Christ is calling you to. So we come together every Sunday and we hear God's word. And we are called to come together. Not to neglect the coming together, as some people, according to the author of Hebrews, are in the habit of doing, but coming together and encouraging one another, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. So we do that. This is our habit. This is what we are called to do, the rhythm of our life. And why do we do that? Well, for one, we're commanded to do so, but also we love to do so. And also, when we do that, we're fellowshipping together and we're experiencing the grace of community. Our call to worship from Psalm 90, the words of the ancient prophet Moses. Beautiful words. He's saying, we're basically like grass. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. 70 years, or if we're lucky, so to speak, 80 by reason of strength. But even that, it's toiling. And a lot of pain is involved. And even then, as you look past it, it's like it's just a brief span of life. And so we're reminded as we look past in 2016, as we look forward into 2017, that we are transient. We are passing. But the Word of God stands forever. And so we stand under the authority of the Word, and we come weekly to hear the gospel preached, to hear the words of Scripture. And this is a beautiful thing that we are called to do. God's Word reminds us that there is more to life than chasing the almighty dollar, for example. That there is more to life than having fun or chasing adventure. We read God's Word because God's truth challenges the illusion that we are in charge. That I'm the boss of me. I will decide. These anointed, life-giving word, Holy Spirit words, are a rejection of every ignorant and arrogant expectation that we can live our lives on our own terms. We need to be reminded of that. And that's why we come together to hear God's Word. As I mentioned, the church leadership has chosen a mission statement, if you will, to guide us as we travel in this journey together of faith, to know, to grow, and to go. And I think it's appropriate on this first day of this new year, this Sunday, day of all the week, the best, as the hymn goes, emblem of eternal rest, that we come together in worship today on this first day of the new year, this Sunday, and we remind ourselves of how we shape our life together around a common vision to know and to grow and to go. I'd like us to consider each of these in light of Romans 12 for a few moments as we look forward into 2017, casting a vision, if you will, for this new year. Now, the first one is no. Now, when we say no, we mean no. When we say no, what are we getting at? Well, according to the Scripture, Paul is saying, don't be conformed to the way that the world thinks, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So he's saying, don't adjust yourself to worldly ways. And we need to remind ourselves that because we live in this world. We live and move and have our being here in this place, yes, because of Christ within us. But it's a mundane existence. We have to deal with money. So, for example, what are our attitudes about money? Do we have worldly attitudes, or do we have biblically informed, godly attitudes about money? Like, I just want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, let us not have a materialistic way of thinking. Yeah, I need to get that bigger TV. I need to get that newer model car. I need to have a more exotic vacation. Now, don't get me wrong. None of these things are bad in and of themselves. But it's the worldly perspective that erodes the foundation and corrodes our soul. It's the idea of, hey, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's take full advantage of everything that we got here. Inundate the senses, because this is all that there is. That's what a materialistic worldview is all about. Reality is material reality. Now, what do we know from the scriptures and from the witness of the Spirit in our lives? We know that there is a transcendent reality, that there's a whole other reality beyond the material world. And God has broken into that reality in His Son, Jesus Christ, in the incarnation. And what Paul is saying here in Romans, he says, we as believers need to be motivated by the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ and His love. So all of our conscious decisions, and perhaps even our unconscious decisions, flow out of this transformed mind that we have, that the Lord has given to us. Now, how does our mind experience renewal? Now, we know that the brain is an amazing organ. It is absolutely mind-boggling how many neural connections there are in the brain. And anybody who's studied even a little bit about the brain understands the truth of scriptures. We are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. So, we used to say that you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Well, it turns out that you actually can teach an old dog new tricks. In fact, if you want to continue on into old age, you have to challenge your brain, whatever that it is you do, Sudoku or puzzles or even brisk walking gets blood moving in your brain. The idea is that you're never too old to form new neural connections. And we need to be actively engaged in that process because God has made our mind that way. And so we must accept the reality of that. So, I recently heard of a story that indicated, for example, reading scripture 4 times a week has an impact on our thinking and our behavior. And that resonates with us, right? Because when somebody says, you are what you eat, wouldn't that also be true of the way you think? Junk in, junk out, kind of a deal. So, but the research on that is that it's 4 times in the scriptures, in the context of 7 days, that we begin to start changing our thinking patterns, and then, as a result of that, our behavior. And it's not necessarily that, you know, you read for an hour a day. It could be even just one verse that you think about. Have this mind, which is yours in Christ. Have this mind, which is yours in Christ. Or it could be that you read, for example, a book in the Bible, like Proverbs. I love to read Proverbs. I read one every day of the month. There's 31 Proverbs, so that covers most months. And there's just so much beautiful wisdom in that. It just stirs my mind. I also do that with the Psalms. I want to suggest to you, perhaps in 2017, to read through the Bible. If you choose a plan to read through the whole Bible, if what that will amount to is approximately 4 chapters per day. So it's not a, you know, particularly arduous task. Although I have to say that there have been years when I resolved, my New Year's resolution was, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. And I get started, and I get somewhere through, you know, past my birthday on the 18th of January, and I find that there have been some days that I've skipped. And then there's like a whole week that I skip. So, you know, I'm not, it's great to read the whole Bible. And if you can, challenge yourself to do that. But don't abandon the project if you have missed some days or even a week, because the point there is that you can have the good effect of the transformative power of the Bible and the truth of God's Word by reading a verse, reading a small book like Book of Ruth, a chapter, just 4 times a week. So I encourage you to do that. The Bible is the Word of God. It is living and active, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it discerns our hearts, and it discerns our minds. And as Paul says in Romans 12, he says, therefore, since we have been lavished with the love of the Father and the Son, let us present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. To what end? So that you may prove that which is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And we need to train our mind in discerning and understanding the will of God and hearing the voice of the Lord. I want to challenge you that as you present yourself in 2017 as a living sacrifice, and as you do that consciously, that you understand that this is your spiritual service of worship. Have you consecrated your life to Jesus Christ already in this new year? Have you consciously said to the Lord Jesus Christ, I give myself to you. I put myself on your altar at your service, Lord. Because that is the beginning point. That is the place of surrender and recognition of what God in Christ has done for us. We need to know that. We need to know the gospel truth. It's His work first. And our response of giving ourselves is simply gratitude for what He has done for us. We're not trying to win any brownie points. We're not trying to get in good with God. He has done all this for us, and we're simply saying, Lord, now I give myself to you wholly and unreservedly. That is the no peace. Well, and then Paul goes from that peace in Romans, those first verses there about service and understanding the will of God because our minds have been transformed, to this piece of growth in the context of the body of Jesus Christ. Each of us has been given gifts, and each of us are to use those gifts to upbuild one another, not to tear each other down, and to walk in humility amongst ourselves. So we're growing in the grace of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the fellowship of God's people. And it is so important. God's wired us to need that. He's placed us in families. We need that social interaction. And not just in the family that you're born into, but also in the family that you've been adopted into. And that is the family of God. Now, Paul says, and he counsels us to have a sober assessment of ourselves and to value each and every member of the body of Jesus Christ. So every person's gift is affirmed and it is welcome. And not only is it affirmed and welcome, but it's also needed. We need each other. And all of this, my brothers and sisters, requires grace. Grace is divine power and enablement to see, to know, and to act according to the character of Christ. It's His grace that He has lavished upon us that enables us to walk in this way that is pleasing unto the Lord amongst the brethren. And that's what we are growing up to be. More like who? More like Christ, exactly. Now, growth takes input and results in maturity. Growth takes input, energy of some sort, and leads to maturity. Take, for example, human growth. From being born until we become adults, we need food, we need air, we need to have shelter, we need to have nurturing, we need to learn to crawl, we need to learn to stand, and then walk, and then talk. We learn to get along with others in our family. We learn how to read. We learn how to write, and so on and so forth. Now, some of this happens naturally. That's just part of the way that God has designed us, this growth. But other things, like reading and writing, we have to be intentional about. So, too, I want to challenge each and every one here with this idea. Our life in Christ. We grow when we receive the gifts of others and when we exercise our own gifts. And Paul has this whole list of different of gifts. He says there's a gift of prophecy, of forth-telling. If that's your gift, use it. Be bold. Or maybe your gift is service. Serve with joy. Or maybe you have the gift of teaching. Great. Study hard and articulate what God is putting on your heart. Somebody else has a gift of exhortation or encouragement. Do that with boldness. Or here's another one, contributing to the needs of the saints. And if you're going to do that, be generous. Isn't that a beautiful word? Or how about leading? If you're going to lead, lead with passion. Lead with zeal. Don't lead half-heartedly. Jump in there and give fully of the gifting that God has gifted you with for the sake of the body of Christ. And then finally, the one about compassion. And he's just listing all these things. If God has given you a heart of compassion, live out of the reality of that compassionate heart of Christ and let him live his compassion through you. Now, we are in a family of God where the input of each other then helps us grow. We need each other. Can't do this alone. Let us commit anew in this new year of 2017 to be intentional about that growing together and receiving the gifts of one another. Here are some places where we can value that in each other's lives, and we can grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that we announce our involvement with Open Door, reaching out to the least, the last, the lost, and the lonely. We are on a schedule along with 60 other churches in the area that help feed people that are on the periphery, people who need a hand up. And what a great place for us to be able to do that. And those of us who have been involved with Open Door know the joy of participating and giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, and also having an opportunity to share the hope that is within us. Another place that you can do that is with Karen and Renee in the Kids Bible Program. It's once a week, Monday or a Tuesday, for an hour after school. Great way to sow the gospel into the lives of these little kids, many of whom come from broken families and messed up situations. And so our presence is incarnational. It's incarnational. We're there in the flesh. And I want to encourage us not to just pay lip service to service or lip service to sharing the gospel, but actually putting, you know, feet to that and walking in incarnational ways within our community. Another way that you can get involved and participate in the fellowship of the body of Christ is we have a couple of prayer gatherings every week for men and for women. Find out about that and where it's being held and what time, and participate in that. Prayer is so important. Prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, has great effect, the scripture says. So let's not forget to pray. Come to a Bible study. Every Tuesday, I lead a Bible study at noon. Come to that at the Home Trust Bank. We'll talk about the scripture for next Sunday. Other opportunities include on Thursday evenings, every other Thursday evening, we have a Bible study at the Allsbrooks for men and women. We're talking about different topics, but it's all centered on the gospel. And so a great opportunity both for fellowship, but also growing together in our understanding of God's purpose for our lives. That's just a few, and there are many opportunities for us to grow in grace in the community of God's people. Let us commit to grow together this year. Now, the third one is go. Now, every creative enterprise is born twice. So says Stephen Covey in The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Every enterprise is born twice. Once in the mind, and then in reality. Like a blueprint for a house is not the house itself. It is the conceptual framework of that house. Okay, so it's born in your mind first, put on paper, and then it's born in reality. You have to build it. So knowledge and growth in our life must result not merely in the first conception, but also in the walking out of that, in the going, okay? In the real concrete action of our faith. Otherwise, we get the problem that James wrote out. Oh, you know, I believe, but I don't have to act out on that. That's not real faith. He says, real, true faith is caring for those people who need to be cared for, the widows and the orphans. So don't just pay lip service to your faith in Jesus Christ, but by the mercy of the Lord in our lives, that we might also walk that out. And again, just by way of reminder, Paul is saying, we're living sacrifices, our minds have been conformed to the reality of the mind of Christ, then we grow in relationship with one another, in the grace of fellowship, in the community of God's people. And now we go. This is what it looks like. And he gives a bunch of different things. He says, love from the center of who you are. Eugene Peterson puts it that way. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. There are many ways for us as brothers and sisters at Providence to show love. Let's be creative. When I do marriage counseling for couples, I like to pull out the book by Gary Smalley, The Five Love Languages. How many of you are familiar with The Five Love Languages? Great book. And so I just want to mention that very briefly here, because he's kind of identified five main areas that we can manifest our love for other people. He talks about sharing gifts, for example, or words of encouragement, physical touch, spending meaningful time with someone, and acts of service. But you can imagine, even in those five areas, there are myriad ways of actually expressing that. So I just want to challenge you, be intentional about how you express your love for those around you. Paul's only advice in this regard is, let it come from the center of who you are, let it be genuine, and don't fake it. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times in your life where you feel like you have to do something, and it hurts in the offering of that, okay? That happens at times. But in a very real sense, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, then more than you even realize, you are operating out of the central defining reality of your life. You see that? Because Christ is in you, and that is the hope of glory. And the goal there is a less of me and more of him. And so we're not just talking about feelings, we're talking about the genuine reality of your life. So even when you do show love to someone that you don't feel loving feelings for, you are being true to who you are, because Christ is in you, and you're being true to the reality of Christ within you. So ask God to put his love in your heart for the people that are around you, even the unlovely. And then love them from the center of who you are, which is Jesus Christ. The next verse that Paul writes, he says, now run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to the good. So I want to challenge each and every one of us to identify the things in our life that pull us down. Are there things in your life that pull you down? Oh yeah, there sure is. Ask God to help you to walk away from them. Lord, give me the strength to be able to walk away from that. Is there someone or something in your life that is pulling you away from God? Commit to removing yourself from that in this new year. You see things that are good and that are true and that are right, move toward them. These are excellent and beautiful things that Paul reminds us. Whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is good and honorable, think on these things. And in the thinking of that, we develop our neural pathways and strengthen those pathways for good, for the glory of God. Then he says, be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Ooh, don't be haughty. Be willing to play second fiddle when that is called upon. Loyalty in your friendships. Honesty in your relationships. Service and humility are indispensable qualities of good friendship. You want to be a good friend to somebody? Sow those things into your life. Think about your friendships and be intentional this year to grow in the character of Jesus Christ, the humility of Jesus, the service of Christ. Then he says in verse 11, and don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Listen, I just love Paul. Because if anyone fits the description of someone who was, you know, not willing to rust out for the gospel, but would rather burn out for the gospel, it's him. But at the end of the day, you're still burnt out or rusted out. And so that's not a good idea. So he's saying, stay aflame. Stay fueled up. I love the realism of Paul. Because here, if we only live for other people, okay? Let's say we resolve, you know, I'm just going to be such a selfless person in 2017. Just like Jesus, giving himself completely and fully, even to the point of, you know, dying to self. The truth is, I think, in situations like that, is we would find ourselves emotionally burnt out. When Paul says, don't think of yourself, he's not saying forget yourself, but rather be self-forgetful. Okay, I admit, that's a very subtle difference. In one scenario, you get used up and you get drained. That's the first scenario. In the second scenario, we find true freedom. Here's how Tim Keller puts it. He says, the truly gospel humble person is a self-forgetful person whose ego is just like his or her toes. Okay. It just works. It does not draw attention to itself. The toes just work. The ego just works. Neither draws attention to itself. Keeping yourself fueled and aflame requires you to stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Paul's counsel in doing that. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Rather, pray all the harder. Prayer is your lifeline. We need prayer. We're crying out to God, God, help me. God, give me strength. God, I need you. Then he continues on. He gives more practical advice from God's word. If we are going to be both hearers and of the word and doers of the word, he says, don't be lip service Christians, but be real ones doing the work of Jesus. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in your hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath here. Laugh with your happy friends while they're happy and share tears when they're down. Get along with each other and don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't try to be a great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, get along with everyone. Now, a new year is a time for reflection. And I'm sure that you've all taken a moment or two in the last couple of days to reflect on the year that has passed and the year that is coming. Now, I do want to say, you know, it's kind of a hip thing to make New Year's resolutions. And I don't know if you have in the past. I'll just confess there have been times, yeah, and why not? So it seems like an appropriate time to do that because it's a place of new beginnings. But I'm not encouraging you to make promises that you can't keep. That's not the gospel. Religion says, try harder, do more. But the reality of the gospel, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus has done everything already for us. Hallelujah. And as we give our lives to Him, He will live His life through us. My brothers and sisters, that giving unto the point of death is the message of the table that we will soon partake of. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light, and my yoke is easy. In 2017, is that what you want? Then he says, come to me and receive from me. And through these elements, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a mysterious way that we cannot comprehend, makes his life real to us and his death as well. He gives himself completely to us. And by grace, we receive in this communion our life. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ has given himself unto the point of death because he has loved us with a never-ending, never-stopping, always and forever love. Amen.